It's 6 o'clock. You're listening to KRFC Fort Collins. Stay tuned for Community at Work. Good evening and welcome to Community at Work, a weekly program here on KRFC that provides a closer look at agencies and organizations that serve you. This half-hour show offers insights into the issues affecting our community and highlights some of the programs and services provided by local agencies and organizations that host Community at Work each Thursday evening. The Health District is one of three rotating hosts for Community at Work. The Health District is a public agency that provides residents of Northern Larimer County with dental, mental health, preventive health, and advanced care planning services, in addition to connecting people to more affordable health insurance and prescription options. And we host Community at Work on the first and third Thursday of every month. I'm Richard Cox, Communications Director for the Health District, and I have with us this evening Corey Wilford from she's a health educator.
Yep.
With the Larimer County Department of Health and Environment, and here to talk about flu and other things that might be prevented with a little bit of good preventive health care. Welcome, Corey.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Sure. And I would also like to congratulate you and the rest of the health department on the recent hiring a couple days ago, or the announcement of a new director for the health department.
Yep. Tom Gonzalez will be joining us at the beginning of December. Our longtime director, Dr. Adrienne LaBailey, is retiring. She's been there since 1987. So it's very exciting and, definitely a new era for us. We also just celebrated our 50th anniversary. The health department here in Larimer County was formed in 1968. So we celebrated that last week with our staff at a nice event at the Lincoln Center.
Well, we are partners with the health department on many, many projects and have been over the years. And so we look forward to this exciting new chapter for the health department and congratulate you on the milestone and the hiring of your new director.
Thank you.
Well, speaking of milestones, it is sort of a change of seasons here. We've had some chilly seasonal weather this week, and that's a reminder of a lot of things in the offing, including the fact that it's a flu season, or will be flu season shortly. I guess we'll find out. So I'd like to start off and say, you know, when is flu season generally? And
So influenza cases can occur all year, but generally flu season is considered to be the beginning of October through mid-May. That is when cases of hospitalizations are tracked and when we see the most activity. Every year, the flu will peak at a different time during that time frame. Sometimes it can even peak as late as February or March. So sometimes people think, if I haven't gotten it yet, I don't need to worry about it.
Yeah.
but certainly those cases we can see earlier into January, February, and March.
Well, it's kind of early into the season. Have we heard any rumblings of flu cases either in Colorado or around the country?
We have not had any cases reported here in Colorado. And just a note about the data. We only get data about hospitalized cases, so we don't see every test that comes in. We do get some information about influenza-like illness that hospitals are seeing, and they, you know, kind of give us some information about different trends and what types of infections they are seeing. But really what we look at is hospitalized cases. So we do not have any of those yet here in Larimer County, but Colorado has five cases that have been hospitalized so far this season, so since October 1st.
Well, flu is, you know, we hear about the flu, influenza every year, and as with many things that kind of recur on a periodic basis like that, mm-hmm. you sort of tune it out after a while. Like, well, okay, it's flu season again. Why should I care?
Mm-hmm.
So why should people care about flu season?
Yeah. Flu is something that definitely comes around every year here in Colorado, and the severity of flu season can really vary. So some years we might not see a whole lot of cases. It might only affect a particular age group in a severe way. But, you know, one of the biggest misconceptions is that the flu is just a bad cold, but really it can be much more severe than that. Sometimes people think the flu is just a stomach bug. Mm-hmm. And it can really be much more severe than the common cold. It can have different symptoms, and it's far more likely to lead to more severe complications.
And I would imagine certain people are more at risk for those more severe complications?
Anybody can become very ill with the flu. So that's oftentimes, like you said, sometimes people think, oh, well, it's flu season. I'm a healthy, you know, active young person. I don't need to worry about it. And that's not necessarily the case. We actually, you know, a lot of people have heard of the 1918 flu pandemic, the Spanish flu that killed, you know, millions of people worldwide. And that affected healthy young people, people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, more than any other age group. So healthy people can be affected. The groups that we really do worry about, though, are the very young and the very old. So we see a lot of outbreaks in long-term care facilities, and we see a lot more complications in that older population and also in little kids, children under 5 and especially children under 2. Can really have some of the worst complications. So age, and then also those with chronic medical conditions also have the most potential for having severe complications, for being hospitalized, and so on.
And you may be thinking, well, I don't fall in any of those groups, but mm-hmm. people, I guess, also need to think, do I come in contact with anybody in those groups?
Or, yeah.
Is it part of my extended, you know, group of contacts?
Absolutely. So. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the greatest successes of vaccination is that if enough people in a particular population are vaccinated, then those who cannot or do not get vaccinated will also have some level of protection. So if I get vaccinated and say I'm working in a daycare, I'm working with little kids in a school, me being vaccinated helps protect them from becoming sick.
And I should say also, if you're healthy and you're not part of any of those risk groups and you don't think you interact with anybody in those risk groups, if you end up by chance getting the flu, it's not a walk in the park.
This is true.
I think I had it last year. It wasn't confirmed by a doctor or a laboratory, but yeah, not a good time.
Yeah, last year was one of the most severe flu seasons that Colorado has seen. There were 4,650 hospitalizations statewide. So that was the highest number of hospitalizations related to flu that Colorado has ever had. So very high severity flu season last year, and it peaked right at the end of December. So if you knew a lot of people who were very sick over the holidays, over Christmas, it could very well have been due to the flu.
Yeah, I've seen it reported recently that last year's flu season was one of the worst in, years, if not
yep.
decades. What accounts for something like that?
Several things. The main thing is that usually the type of flu viruses that are circulating are types that haven't been seen by the large part of the population. So people who don't have any immunity to those types of it. Some years we have, we see flu viruses that maybe were common 10 years ago. So a lot of people have some immunity to those. Last year, that's one of the things that, they've looked at is that it was something that was that a lot of people did not have any type of immunity to.
novelty is a bad thing in the flu world. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
So what's the best way for people to avoid getting the flu?
Yeah, well, like we're talking about, we definitely recommend, the Centers for Disease Control recommends, you know, every medical agency recommends that the best way is to get a flu vaccination every year, because it can really reduce the chances of getting the flu. If someone does still get the flu, it can reduce the severity and also reduce the chances that that person will have to be hospitalized. It's also shown to reduce a child's risk of dying from the flu if they get it. So certainly, again, really important for those higher risk groups. But then, you know, of course, not everyone wants to or can be vaccinated against the flu. So we absolutely recommend everyday preventative actions like covering a cough, covering a sneeze with your sleeve, not with your hands, mm-hmm. that then touch things. Hand washing is essential. Washing hands, certainly, you know, after going to the restroom, before eating, but also when you come into a building, you know, when you're going back and forth from various places, washing hands is really important. With that, really try and avoid touching your face. Eyes, nose, and mouth are the best way for flu to get into the body. And then cleaning high traffic surfaces. So doorknobs, kitchen counters, places where I always just think of little kid hands in a school, but places where hands go a lot, right? People touch their faces, they touch their noses, they sneeze, they cough, and those germs can just spread so easily that way. And also, if a person does become sick with the flu, to take antiviral medications. And while that's not preventive, it can really help, again, decrease the severity of the flu if those are prescribed.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to KRFC Fort Collins. This is the Community at Work show on KRFC. It's every Thursday evening at 6 o'clock. I'm Richard Cox from the Health District of Northern Larimer County, and we're talking this evening with Corey Wilford from the Larimer County Department of Health and Environment, who is bringing us up to date on flu season and other things that we might want to avoid through better preventive health. And that includes, for flu, getting a flu shot. Are flu shots available now?
Yes, they are widely available. Most health insurance companies will cover the entire cost of a flu shot. So, you know, many people, if they've been into their regular healthcare provider, they've been, you know, offered a flu vaccine at that visit. Local pharmacies, you know, where someone goes to get their regular prescriptions, will often, you know, just give it to you on a walk-in basis there, and you just have to show them your health insurance card. For people who don't have health insurance, or if their health insurance by chance doesn't cover vaccinations, they can come into the health department. We can provide flu shots for individuals with Medicaid or who do not have health insurance, and we'll cover the cost of that.
So there really are a lot of options out there, which wasn't always the case 10, 20 years ago. Right?
Yeah. Some years there is a shortage, or there's not enough vaccines, so they really have to prioritize which groups.
I remember
groups.
Those years.
In recent years, that's been the way. But there's plenty of flu vaccine this year. It's recommended for everyone ages 6 months old and older to get a vaccine this year.
If somebody falls into one of those groups where they don't have insurance or can't otherwise afford a flu shot, what number would they call, or how do they find out about
it? The website, if you want more information, is www.larimer.org/health. And you can look under clinical services there. But it's also easy just to call 970-498-6700. And that's our health department's main line. And they can get you to someone who can make you an appointment. We have clinics in Loveland and Estes Park and Fort Collins.
Okay. And just because you got a flu shot last year doesn't mean you're off the hook for this year.
Right.
It's something you have to do every Every year.
Yep. Kiddos who have never been vaccinated need to get two doses, but everyone else needs to get one vaccine, one flu shot each year. One of the reasons for that is because, like I mentioned earlier, there are different strains that circulate each year. So scientists try and predict what will be circulating, and then they put that into the vaccine so that we can be protected for whatever is going around that season.
And I've read a little bit about that, and that's a very fascinating story about how that medical detective work and figuring out what's going to be what's going to be the circulating flu virus or viruses in the coming year. So there is the standard flu shot that we all remember and most of us get, but there's also another option, right? The nasal spray.
Yeah. And there's actually several brands and several types of just what we would call the traditional flu shot that are available. The two main types are what's called a quadrivalent, and the other is called a trivalent. So the quadrivalent has four different types of flu strain in it, and then the trivalent has three. The CDC recommends any of these. If it's age appropriate, some are recommended for some ages and some are not. But they don't really have a preference for which one is better. The other type of flu vaccine that's available is the nasal spray. The main difference between these, besides one is an injection and one is a spray that goes into the nose, the shots, the injections are killed virus or dead virus, and so there's no possibility that it's going to make a person sick. It can't give you the flu. The nasal spray is actually what's called a live attenuated virus, and what that means is that the virus is not killed, but it has been the virulence of it, the ability for it to really make someone sick, has been reduced so much that it won't make the person sick. So
the hands are tied behind its back.
Yeah.
But your body goes, hey, that's the flu.
Yeah.
I'm going to mount a defense.
Yeah. So neither one, that's something we hear a lot. One of the reasons people do not get flu vaccine is that they believe it will give them the flu, which cannot happen.
Often, yeah. It's just so wrong.
Yeah.
And it's surprising that that myth continues.
Yeah, and some people have had that experience of, well, I got a flu shot and then I got sick, you know, a couple of days later. Sometimes it's just luck.
Yeah.
It's just coincidence. The flu shot does take about 2 weeks to fully work. So it's recommended that people get a shot by the end of October. I realize we're missing that date. But again, it's never, you know, too late.
It's never too late.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And one of the reasons it's recommended to get it by the end of October is because, you know, we think of what's coming up in the next couple months is this colder weather, lots of travel for many people, people congregating in, you know, homes for, you know, dinners and parties. And that's one of the reasons that it really starts to spread so much is just because people come indoors, and especially here in Colorado, we're so used to being outside and walking our dogs. And once those temperatures plummet and the you know, days are shorter with the light, we're just around people in close quarters more.
If you're just tuning in, this is the Community at Work show on KRFC Fort Collins. I'm Richard Cox from the Health District of Northern Larimer County, and tonight we're talking with somebody from the Health Department, the Larimer County Department of Health and Environment. Corey Wilford is talking to us tonight about flu. So let's say maybe you got your flu shot, maybe you didn't. You're washing your hands, you're doing everything right, but still you're feeling pretty bad.
Yeah.
How do you know if it's the flu, and what do you do if it is the flu, or even if you suspect it's the flu?
Yeah. Some of the symptoms can be similar to a cold. However, it's usually much, much worse. So, you know, the flu and cold can cause a sore throat. It can cause body aches. Influenza will usually cause a really high fever and pretty severe body aches and muscle aches. for someone with a high fever who really is feeling, very sick, it's a good idea to call a doctor, maybe head to urgent care, not touching anything on the way or breathing on anyone. Because one of the reasons that it's important to do that as soon as possible if you're really feeling crummy is because a doctor can prescribe antiviral medication, which works best if it's started at the early onset of the flu. That's another difference between the flu and a cold. Usually with a cold, we sort of feel like, oh, I think I'm getting sick. I don't feel good. I think I'm going to go home from work early. And with the flu, it's almost immediate.
Yeah,
it just hits you very quickly, and you get very sick very quickly.
Yeah, I think I think the clinical description is felt like you've been hit by a truck.
Yeah, absolutely. right from the textbook.
So we've talked a little bit about getting a flu shot, and mm-hmm. That's a good thing. It can help you avoid it, or it can help diminish the impact should you do get influenza. And we hear, we know that childhood immunization rates have declined in many parts of the country over the years as people have had unfounded fears about childhood vaccines and their safety, all erroneous and disproven. But I'm just curious if anything like that has kind of seeped into the world of flu vaccination.
Yeah.
If you ever hear anecdotally that people are afraid of getting a flu shot, or if we've seen any type of like long-term or medium-term trends of people not getting their flu shot.
Sure. Because the flu vaccine is not required for school-aged kids, it's something that certainly children don't get as often. The rates when it comes to flu vaccination nationwide, they've remained fairly low. Nothing has really dramatically decreased. One of the things we do see is that really little kids will get their flu shots. They go to the doctor more often. And then as kids get older, they're not getting their annual flu shot quite as often. So the middle schoolers, the high schoolers, college age kids, those are the ones who are really, might need to seek that out, might need to make an extra appointment and make a little bit more effort than the little ones who are maybe seeing their doctor every year anyway. And so they get that flu shot. But that's one of the main things that we see with flu vaccine. Just to mention again, last year, flu was really bad. It was a really high severity year. And nationwide last year, there were 180 children who died of lab-confirmed influenza. And we know that 74% of those 180 kids were not vaccinated against influenza. So, again, that flu shot for kids, for adults, can reduce those chances of having to be hospitalized, can make illness, if someone does get it, less severe, and can really, really dramatically decrease the risk of dying from influenza.
I'm going to ask you to sort of project into the future if you can. We see all types of advances in immunization, mm-hmm. and just, now we have a nasal spray, which can immunize you against flu, which wasn't available, 10 or 15 years ago.
Right.
And any long-term things on the horizon that might make flu vaccination even easier and more palatable for people who are adverse to doing that sort of thing in the first place?
Yeah. Well, I always say the shot is much better than the actual flu, so that's one thing to consider.
Yes.
The nasal spray is certainly a great advance. My kids certainly love getting that, and they don't need to get a shot. One of the neat things happening with vaccine, we talked about earlier that the vaccine needs to be grown. It needs to be made in eggs. And what is new now today and kind of emerging in science are cell-based vaccines. So these vaccines are not grown in eggs. Eggs take a long time for the vaccine to be grown in, mm-hmm. And the cell-based vaccines actually can be made quicker.
That's
so,
a surprisingly primitive production method.
And there's some, you know, there's some concern with traditional vaccines that they, you know, that people who have an egg allergy might not want to use those. But since the cell-based vaccines are not made in eggs, they can be used potentially by more people, or more people might be willing to use them if they're sensitive to eggs. So that's one of the neatest things, is just sort of this new vaccine technology.
So flu shots are one of the vaccinations that adults might routinely get as an adult. Are there other things that that adults should be thinking about getting immunized?
Yeah. You know, college-age students, there's some that are still required or recommended as they enter college. It's important for college age, it's usually recommended for adults to have a meningitis booster. The human papillomavirus, or HPV virus, vaccine has actually just been approved for men and women through a longer age period. So it used to be that men and women could get it to age 26. Now they can get it later in life as well. For older adults, the shingles vaccine is really important, pneumococcal vaccine, and for those who haven't had it in the past, the hepatitis A and hepatitis B vaccines are really also very good ones to have. So, yeah, I mean, it's always great to ask a doctor at an appointment if they haven't brought it up, which vaccines are necessary. Everyone should get a Tdap shot, or a tetanus shot. We often call it every 10 years.
Every 10 years,
uh-huh. And that also, the Tdap shot includes pertussis, which is whooping cough. And we see that quite a bit in our community here. And so, again, that's one that if an adult hasn't had that, and, you know, if they become ill, they might expose, you know, an infant who could get something like pertussis, which can be fatal for a little baby. So really important to stay on top of those for our own health, and also to protect the most vulnerable in our community.
Right. Yeah. Again, driving home the point that just because you're a healthy adult who may be inconvenienced by slightly sickened by something,
mm-hmm.
Vulnerable populations can be greatly sickened,
yeah.
or can even die from
yep.
them. Anything else that we haven't covered tonight that you'd like to add?
I don't think so. Just, yeah, again, get your flu shot, you know, make an appointment, walk into one of the pharmacies that offers them, do it sooner than later. But if you forget, it's okay to do it, you know, sometime over the next few months. Wash your hands. Washing hands is really an incredible, easy way to prevent the spread of illness. So wash your hands. If you don't have access to water, use hand sanitizer. It works really well for protecting against a lot of those winter germs that are out there. And again, you know, teaching kids to cover and wash their hands as well can really help reduce the spread of infection. It's hard for some people if they don't have sick leave or just can't. You know, we have jobs and school, but staying home from work, staying out of, you know, social situations is a really good idea. They really don't. And muscling through stuff when you don't have to, it really, again, it protects you, it helps you get better, and it helps everyone else not get sick.
And as you mentioned earlier, there's lots of different places where people can get flu shots, including at the health department, if people do not have insurance, mm-hmm. or the financial means to get a flu shot. What is the phone number for that?
It's 970-498-6700.
Great. Well, Corey Wilford from the Larimer County Department of Health and Environment, thanks a lot for coming on tonight.
Thanks for having me.
And talking about flu season. We hope that all of you out there don't get the flu this year.
Stay well.
And have a healthy fall and winter. Well, that's just about all the time we have for tonight. Please tune in next week when Denny LaRue will be hosting Community at Work and discussing issues affecting Larimer County. Julie Estlick from the Health District will be back here in a couple weeks. And coming up next on KRFC is Critter Patter.